1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by ScreenX, exclusively at Market Ridge Cinema in New Berlin. ScreenX provides moviegoers with a 270-degree viewing experience. Immerse yourself in the breathtaking visuals at Marcus Ridge Cinema's ScreenX in New Berlin. Get your tickets at marcustheaters.com.
Why, Jim Trado.
I love that theme.
Live and breathe.
Yeah, people are going, wait, we haven't heard that theme in how long? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program, our racing expert, Jim Trado. Nice to see you, Jimmy.
Thank you. I have that on my business card, and I now have T-shirts. So if you want to go to my website, thank you. It's great to see you guys.
And you didn't come alone.
No.
We always say you can come in, but you got to bring a friend.
I have an update for you as well.
Okay. All right.
We want to be current and accurate. Tyler Ankrum.
Yes.
Is now fifth in points in the NASCAR.
Wait a minute.
From Chuck
I have sixth on my
I know.
Paperwork.
That's why I have to make sure we're good. I want to be accurate.
It would have been insulting, Tyler, if I would introduce you as sixth place.
No, it's okay.
Rookie of the Year last year.
No, Rookie of the Year back in 2019.
When he's turning 17 to 18 is when he ran full-time in NASCAR, and he's been there ever since.
You started NASCAR full-time when you were 19, Jim just said, right?
17.
17.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, you're a California kid.
Yes, sir.
Do you have to relocate to the East Coast? Do you have to be in the Carolinas to run full-time on a team in NASCAR?
I mean,
it just can't be done from the West Coast?
I mean, you could certainly try, but it's you know, it's like this. You want to become a country singer, you got to move to Nashville, Tennessee. You want to become an actor, you got to move to Hollywood, California. You want to become a professional stock car driver,
why did we come to Milwaukee, Brian? Because we wanted to be
Toledo is not good enough for you. Is that
true?
What it is?
True. Well, that's a great way of putting it. So, and it's worked out. It's worked out really, really well for you
so far. So far, we still the dream and the goal is still to become a cup driver. And we're working our way there.
How old were you when you first got in a motorized vehicle to compete?
My very first race was when I was 9 years old.
Okay, so when you...
And so that was a go-kart or...
Quarter midget. It's a quarter size of a sprint car.
Quarter midget.
It's a quarter size of a sprint car. Actually, looks exactly like a non-wing sprint car. I did those out on the West Coast with my father for the first 3 or 4 years up until I was about 11, 12. And then I got into a USAC midget. Then I got an opportunity to drive for David Gill in the late models, and that's when...
How do you talk your parents into that at 9 years old?
Yeah.
I couldn't get my mom and dad to drive me in Racine for Little League football.
And remember to pick you up after practice, so I didn't do that either.
Yeah, right.
My mom wasn't too stellar about it, but at that point in time, I was still living on the family ranch, and you know, I had dreams and aspirations of becoming a cowboy, and mom said to my father, you know, this is what I'm told. I'm sure it's exaggerated, but it was either your son becomes something different or it's divorce. And I think my dad loves my mother.
Oh, because she didn't want you to be a cowboy?
No, she did not want me to be a
cowboy. So were you wrenching on these things at 9 years old too?
Absolutely.
What's your dad's background? Is he good with combustion engines? Or?
Yeah, I mean, my dad's, you know, when you grown up on a ranch, you kind of become good at everything. You learn how to work on tractors and, you know, a lot of that stuff just, you know, we actually learned together. You know, my dad for the first 3 or 4 years, my quote-unquote racing career, and when I was that young, was my car owner, my crew chief, my manager, and still technically is. And so for us, it was actually a great, you know, father-son bond experience because, you know,
or
for me,
I bet you could have some great arguments, too.
Oh, yeah, trust me, we had those, too.
Right.
We had those, too, but, you know, because my dad was, growing up, you know, he was out the door, you know, 4 a.m., and he didn't get home till 6, so I never, like, growing up, my dad was always at work and never really hung out with my dad. But once we started racing together, we started spending a lot of time together, and we have a lot of memories together.
And you're racing at the mile on August 25th. Now, there's a lot of racing going on between then, too.
Yeah, there's a race on Father's Day where all the best super late model guys come to race. When you guys came out and saw Matt Kenseth, that kind of car is racing on Father's Day, June 16th.
Okay.
The super late models are racing. There's some other grassroots divisions as well. And it's going to be cool because there's a race in Madison on Friday night. So all these guys from around the country are going to race Friday in Madison and Sunday at the Milwaukee Mile on Father's Day weekend. That's going to be pretty
cool. How do we keep the mile turned on for the entire summer? Because it seems like we make a run at it for a couple of years, and then it kind of calms down, and it's like, oh, there's no races at the mile this year. How do we keep that thing as a regular stop like it used to be? And you'll love this, Tyler, for the Rex Mays 150 that I used to go to with my dad all the time.
Yep. And we used to have three races during State Fair, and that's a lot of people that are saying, what's going on? How can we do that? State Fair Park's done a great job. They have actually put in a lot of improvements. The pit road now has concrete pads, and they're resurfacing that. They're redoing the entire inside wall in 3 and 4 in time for the NASCAR race. There's also an IndyCar race coming back on Labor Day weekend. They're running Saturday and Sunday, which is right after the Lionel 175 NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race, which starts the playoffs. So there's a lot of juice going.
Okay.
And
it's getting there.
Still flat as a table, right?
Yeah, Tyler loves those.
How do you like that, Tyler?
I love flat track.
Why do you guys love that? Because you can't stay in the throttle as opposed to a banked track.
No, 100%. You know, it's got everything to do with how we load the tires and the chassis and the suspension. When you go to these, like we were just at Kansas, you're going in a truck, you're going 190 miles an hour into the corner. And so there's a lot of vertical load. But when you come to these flat tracks, there's more lateral load. And, you know, honestly, we just, you know, you can't fight against, you know, the laws of physics and gravity. So we just have to, you know, we don't have that vertical load and we have more lateral. So we have to just slow down more to make the corner. And that just promotes better racing.
Is the mile tougher on tires than other tracks?
Being, it can be, yes.
Being flat, like Brian said, is a table?
Yeah, it's imagine a cheese grater. Imagine just taking those tires across a flat cheese grater. And that's what you're doing to those tires. You're making them wore out and you're, you know, degrading them a lot faster.
And a long off-ramp, imagine this, a long round-off on the freeway, you're going from straight ahead to all the way curving around the cloverleaf coming back. The straightaways are as long as the corners. So the corners are really long there, right? So you really got to get it right. Because if your truck's a little bit off, I've seen it time and again, because the trucks have been here 16 times before, and I think I've been to all of those races. But the trucks, if they load and they don't handle right, man, you're out to lunch. That front end's going to wash. You can't get back in the gas. You're burping the gas to try to hang on to the thing. It's kind of cool. It gets the driver actually to drive it, not just stab and steer on a big high banked racetrack.
Right.
You know, what are the top truck models racing?
Well, I think NASCAR Tyler would series. Tell you all about the Chevrolet Silverado.
Okay.
RST. So and then Toyota Silverado. Has a truck, and then the Ford has a truck too. The F-150, yeah.
Okay, and the 150.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of horsepower is in the Silverado these days?
700.
700 horsepower. What was in your first racer that you had
Ford
at nine?
Midget, yeah, 10. 10 horsepower.
Yeah,
maybe.
1 horsepower per year.
Yeah, it was these little 120 right. Honda engines, and I think they had 10. They were one cylinder. I think they had 10 horsepower.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Let them race trucks instead.
And he's his family. I can't believe it until you hear it out of his mouth. He's like, when he was getting ready for 8th grade graduation, like a lot of our families are that are listening to this, he was ready to get it moving. He was at 13. They moved across the country to pursue his racing career.
Yep.
And by age 15, he was winning races in the ARC East Championship. It's crazy.
Hey, Ma, can I play football? You got to drive me in town.
Yeah. No. Hey, can we
Go
move across?
Run in the yard.
Okay, you were 13 when your family packed up in California and headed east to...
Well, actually, I have a sister as well, and you know the family ranch and the family business was out in California still, so to pursue this dream, I actually had long conversation with my parents, and I moved out to the East Coast first with my mother, and I lived with my mother for... Well, actually, I mean, I'm out of the house now, but for 8 years when I lived at home, it was just me and her during the week, and my dad would come to every single race. My dad's only missed 3 races my whole life. Ironically, I've won all 3 of those races.
Why did you stay home?
But he stayed home. My sister went to college out on the West Coast, and so, and people always ask me, like, are your parents still together? It's like, yeah, just, that was just the dynamic.
You know, my parents had long conversations with me, too, when I was 13, but it was more about cleaning up my room and why is that garage a mess and why are my tools not put away, you know?
Trust me, I still have those
like
conversations,
and when they decide to move east with you at 13, what kind of pressure is that on a 13-year-old?
I mean, it's huge because you understand that not only just – the time, the investment, but also too, I always thought about this with my parents. Everything that they ever knew was in Southern California and San Bernardino, and so, especially with my mother, we were moving to a place with, a small teenage boy, and she knew no one, knew nobody, didn't have any friends, didn't know the plumber,
right.
The electrician.
So the glamorous life is what you're talking about of a race driver, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
With your mother sitting there going, I don't know anybody.
And he's gone through a really good progression with really good teams, and it takes a lot of effort, but it also takes performance. So when he started racing in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, he won his first year. He won Rookie of the Year, and then he worked with that team for 2 years. Then he moved to a different team the last couple of years. And this being his full-time season with McAnally Hilgeman Racing, they're kicking butt. Their team won 2 races already. The guy he races with finished second in Kansas, ninth. The other guy that's, I think, was one of his best finishes. So they got a really good thing going. And it's a Wisconsin owner that owns that team.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Bill Hilgeman jumped in and said, I want to help these guys. I want to be part of this.
And it's working out because you're in fifth place right now so far.
Absolutely.
In the season.
We started off the season hot. My first six starts, I had three top fives, four top ten finishes. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, that is right.
It is.
And, you know, past 2 weeks been super rough. We led the points for the first six
super
races.
Super rough.
Yeah, it's super rough. I don't want to talk about the past 2 weeks. But no, we led the points for the first five races, and, you know, those two bad races have knocked us back down to fifth. But, you know, we're going to work our way back up.
All right. Well, good luck when you're at the mile.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Jim.
Sunday, August 25th.
Yes.
Tickets at MilwaukeeMileRacing.com. Tyler's sponsored La Una is coming in with 9,000 Wisconsin laborers helping to sponsor this. We'll see a bunch of people wearing orange on Sunday, August 25th.
Any other sponsors you have to work in? Because NASCAR is famous
Sprecher,
for that.
Sprecher Brewery is renewing their Arkham Menards Series sponsorship. So the Sprecher 150 is the first race of a two-day NASCAR race doubleheader on that Sunday.
Give me your spiel. I want to hear it, Tyler. When you win, you want to thank the...
I want to thank La Una Chevrolet and obviously my family.
Okay. All right. That list is going to get a lot longer.
Did you watch the Kentucky Derby?
I did.
You did?
I did. Yeah.
As another kind of race, what do you think?
Well, here's the goofy thing. That race, that finish on Saturday?
The Kansas race was the closest.
The day was closer with race cars.
Yeah, the race, that was closer than the Kentucky Derby.
0.001 seconds.
Yeah.
I figure it's about 1 inch on the ruler between the guy that won and the guy that finished second.
Right. So is that coincidence?
Weekend of
or
close finishes.
Yeah.
Or conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Something with the moon and the tides.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks,
love being
Tyler.
Here, guys.
Thank you very much.
Can't wait to see you again later on this summer.
Bring it.
Hint.
Bring it.
Hint. All right, Tyler, thanks for the time this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.